This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
6:11 now, and it's Monday morning, December 23rd, Christmas Eve, and it's a dang on shame, really, if you think about the weather, because this could be chillier today, or about the same, I guess, as it was yesterday, maybe a little bit warmer, highs of 74, and then tomorrow, Christmas Eve, highs of 68, then we get to Christmas Day, and you're talking about highs of 72 with a 70% chance for showers, so really more Easter-like than Christmas, but what are you going to do, right? And then looking ahead to the weekend and the next holiday, New Year's, for the weekend, we're talking about, well, let's get it to Thursday, highs of 73, 76 on Friday, 76 on Saturday, 70 for Sunday with a 40% chance for showers, which is not good because I plan on getting my year-end round of golf in. With that, we welcome in Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, our friend. How you doing, Professor?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate. I'm not here to judge. But I will tell you this. We do appreciate all the help that you've given us throughout the year. We really do. And we wish you the best.
Well, thank you very much.
You know, I get paid to follow the government goings on. Let's put it that way. And I'll be damned if I know what happened. So maybe you can help us out because you get paid to study it. And man, I don't know. There's so many moving parts on this. Where do you want to start, Professor?
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, the most fascinating part is we're going to return to, you know, to the kind of the Trump's first administration, where we're going to see a lot of social media activity. And I don't want to say that as a criticism, because the bully pulpit for the president has been around since at least Teddy Roosevelt. So it's just done in a different way, rather than television or radio or standing giving a speech. It's through social media. But that can cause chaos right away. And the new element to me is Elon Musk. To me, he is a complete wild card that we really don't have a precedent for, looking in the past.
I heard somebody say yesterday that Elon Musk is kind of like an unelected prime minister, which really kind of, A, slapped me in the face, and B, got me to thinking maybe they're right. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, to the extent, I mean, in his best corollary is that there's been, wealthy interests, and powerful wealthy interests that have been influencing government since the beginning. So that's not new. But what's really new is having, it done in public, right? So, and this is the most public way you can possibly do it. So, lobbying Congress, behind closed doors, common. Doing it in front of everybody with your demands, on social media, that's completely new. And it certainly has a big influence.
So let's talk about the bill itself, because I know he was tweeting pictures of the bill. I know Elon Musk was tweeting things that were outright false about what was in the bill. But when it comes to the final version, just to be fair and accurate, did anybody have a chance to read everything that was in it and understand? Because you see what I'm saying? It's easy to look at a big stack of papers and say nobody read it. It's also easy to look at a smaller stack of papers and say success until you look into the details of, do we really know what's in it or what's not?
Right. I mean, actually, no, the details. I think because it slimmed down, the one that was actually finally passed went from like 1,500 pages to down to 150 pages.
Which is still very, very complicated policy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. To actually know the details of how things are going to work, that's different than just knowing the broad story that, oh, it still includes, farming help. It still includes disaster relief. And then, of course, it funds the government at the same levels until March 14th. OK, that's big ticket. That's upper level numbers. But what the details are, yeah, most people aren't going to know that.
So I guess what that makes me wonder is, does this set the tone for the second Trump administration with Elon Musk involved with social media? Does it become style over substance, or has it always been?
Well, there's always been part of it. I mean, that's kind of what the bully pulpit idea is that you can get the public behind you and force Congress to act. So that's been the goal, since, again, Teddy Roosevelt. But, I think that the key here is that this is happening so much in public, and Donald Trump's use of and free use of social media is going to be, again, where he can change his mind instantly. This happened a lot during his first administration. And the battle he's going to have with Congress is going to be, to me, is going to be fascinating to watch. I'm sure it's going to be frustrating for a lot of people. But he's going to, you know, it's clear that his administration and Congress isn't just going to roll over.
I'm a fan of old movies, having studied some at my alma mater, filmed some at my alma mater, UNO, who now your former president is the president of, by the way, you know that.
Yes.
And I'm thinking the movie Mr. Smith Goes to, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where I believe he gets all the newspaper kids to start spreading the newspaper, and then they have a campaign of disinformation against him. Is this just a high-tech version of that where, before people start getting alarmed if they're not fans of the Trump administration or Elon Musk and what's happening on social media? This has always happened. It's, again, at least since, 1900s, I guess. It's just that this is a more electronic version of it and a more rapid version of it.
Right. Yeah. That the rapidity of social media is the thing that's really different. The task and the goal to rally public opinion against someone you don't like or against a policy you don't like or for a policy you do like, that's the same. That's, that goes back, 150 years at least, since post-Civil War. The quick and easy access that every politician has or every, shyster has in our pockets, right? We carry around the news essentially with us at all times and we get it instantly. That is so new that we're still, the infancy when it comes to studying the effects of this social media on, the average public and how politics works in our country.
Somebody texted it in, and this goes to style over substance, 1,500 to 150. I wonder if they trimmed anything off, Tommy, and apparently they're in favor of what they did. It. I'm not against what they did, but I do know, having done this job for the decades that I have, that the devil is in the details. So you can't say 150 to 1500 is automatically a win if you don't know what's in it. Is that accurate?
I mean, it's accurate in the sense that it's probably less devil in that detail because we cut it by, so much. And really, it seems like, most people are going to have a better sense, at least when it comes to disaster relief, right? So what we're doing there, whether it's done well, that's a different story. But, at least, when you're allocating money for disaster relief, you have a pretty good sense of what's going to happen.
I guess let me put it that way. Yeah. Let me make the butcher analogy. I can have a pork loin that weighs 12 pounds, it's full of fat, and I can trim it down to 7 pounds, but if I don't know what I'm doing and I'm not precision in my trimming, I could wind up with as much fat and less meat or the other way around, right?
Right. Yeah. If you don't know what you're doing, I end up cutting out all my meat and I just leave the fat. That would be problematic. In this case, I think it was clear that they were going to focus in on a couple of things that were going to remain in the bill. So they got rid of the increase in pay for Congress. Right. So that's gone. And everyone knows that. But keeping disaster relief and farm funding, that was the two things that, could have bipartisan agreement. And so, the details of it are going to be known by the actual administrators of the programs, but in the end, they're probably something that both like.
All I'm asking is that the public pay attention to the details. That's all, because much like a magical act, the misdirection is often where the card gets palmed and you don't realize it, right?
Right. Well, that's
sides. That's not a Republican thing. That's not a Democratic thing. I'm just saying that's a political thing.
Right. And that's so much what Elon Musk was tweeting about. He was just finding out, in the 1500 pages, there's this thing, the pay raise for Congress, which a lot of people wouldn't have known about. They tried, seemingly to sneak that in into a huge bill, which is pretty common, is these big omnibus bills that come through Congress. They are just they oftentimes are referred to as Christmas tree bills, where you hang your pork, here, and you hang your pork there, and then you get your programs through Congress that way.
All right, let me take a break. We'll come back, talk about the politics behind all of this, what it portends for a Trump administration. Also about the policy and what happens in mid-March, as I understand it, when this other continuing resolution expires. And at any point, is anybody willing to seriously sit down and do anything about the debt? and deficit, and is that likely to happen in a Trump administration? 620, we're talking to our friend Professor Aaron Dusso, an associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Look, I'm all for less spending and deficit and debt reduction. Again, I just want to make sure that when it comes to just less papers, that doesn't necessarily mean less spending. It all depends on the way it's worded, and it's complicated stuff. 621, traffic now, WWL. 625 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend, Professor Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis, about the government shutdown that was averted. Professor, somebody texted in, I don't know about this, but they said, Tommy, AI can evaluate the bill in under 2 minutes, give you a synopsis of everything that's in it. No need for humans to read it anymore, especially when you have less than 24 hours to review. Is that right?
Well, I've used AI a bit, and it's very good at giving quick synopsis like that. But when we're talking about the details, right, exactly how this is going to work, it's not quite as good at that. And it can often and it still has a problem of making things up, too.
Oh, well, it's politics. That's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the politics behind all of this and a unified Republican Party, because I saw Representative Tony Gonzalez, who has sincere border concerns, a Republican from Texas yesterday. He voted against it because he said, you know what? Lock us in a room. Keep us there through Christmas and New Year's. And let me take a step back. These people are human beings. They wanted to get home for Christmas and New Year's, and that had a lot to do with this, did it not?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no question that keeping people in Washington when they want to be home with their families could be a big motivator for members of Congress, just like all of us.
But he said hammer it out. And this the budget concerns, the financing concerns, the debt deficit worries that we have in this country, Social Security, et cetera. This is serious discussion for serious people that have to put the future of the country and not necessarily their political future at the forefront. Accurate?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, what's kind of odd about this is happening in a lame duck session of Congress, and that, you know, before we actually going to have a new one taking office in just a little over a week at this point. So, you know, I would expect normally that this would have just waited until January to start having this kind of fight. But it's a huge issue. Obviously, $36 trillion in debt, $1.6 billion or trillion in budget deficit. This is something that needs to be dealt with in a serious manner, right? Not through Twitter.
So what does the future look like for Mike Johnson, the leadership in the House? They have not voted for leadership, and I'm confused now, Professor. I got so many things. I got Saints. I got sports. I got college playoffs on my mind. What's the situation in the Senate? Who holds the Senate? The Republicans do, right?
Right. Well, they will as of January 3rd.
Right. So what about House and Senate leadership?
So right now they voted within caucus. They voted to continue with Mike Johnson, and Thune will be Senator Thune will be the new majority leader in the Senate. But they'll officially vote for that once they take office in January.
So what happens with Mike Johnson? Does he keep his position? Let me add one more question. Where do the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the other hard right components of this, the Rand Pauls, the Representative Tony Gonzalez, those kind of people, where do they all fit in with former president, with President Trump, correct me there, and I correct myself, and Elon Musk and this cabal?
Right. I do not envy Johnson, and he's going to be the speaker as voted with in caucus, but he is an almost impossible situation because even getting through this one continuing resolution till March was seemingly an impossible task. So the job that he's going to have to do to try and toe the line between kind of the far right and moderates, and then also working with Democrats, because, in getting this continuing resolution just passed last Friday, it required a majority of Democrats actually voted for it with, more Democrats than Republicans. So this is I would predict that Johnson's going to ultimately be replaced later in the year, because that's just what we do now.
So look into the Dusso crystal ball for me. Get it out of the mahogany cage in a purple velvet. We all know what it looks like. And you get the padding, then you get the take it out of the velvet bag. Look ahead to the first half of 2025. How do you see this playing out politically?
I think Trump moves on everything that the executive branch can largely do unilaterally. Mm-hmm. So things like deportation can make a strong argument that ICE and all that's within the executive branch. And so I would see that happening really quickly and much faster than a lot of people are predicting. But things like trying to raise a debt ceiling, to get rid of the Department of Education, or to cut even spending that has to go through Congress, that is a much bigger football and problematic for them to, because they're going to have to work together with a tiny majority in both houses of Congress.
Professor, I really appreciate you. I do. Thank you, sir. Have a great holiday season. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. We'll talk to Mark Mitchell when we come back, professor of zoological medicine, LSU School of Veterinary Medicine, about bird flu right now. Time for WWL First News.